Why was Satan cast onto the earth? Because iniquity was found in him. In eternity past, Satan was the covering cherub. That's what Ezekiel 28 tells us. And when Satan was the covering cherub, he was the highest cherub that there was. He was the cherub among all angels. He was the head angel. And as the head angel, he was the guardian of the Word of God. And in Ezekiel 28 and verse 15, it was only when iniquity was found in him that there was a problem. In verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise. That word merchandise there is not what we think of merchandise. It's a curious translation. The real meaning is traffic, just like in verse 18. Satan tempted the angels, and one third of heaven fell with him. Now, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. That means that no principle in the Bible is new to time. Every principle that is in the Bible has existed as a principle and has existed as the Word of God from eternity past, including the principle of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, where if you eat from the good side of the tree, you die. If you eat from the evil side of the tree, you die. Satan used this principle against God's angels, where he trafficked among God's angels and challenged them in a way, and we've talked about this before, he challenged them in a manner of speaking, in something to the effect of, is God just? Because when Satan found that God was going to send angels to hell, yet imperfect man was going to have the opportunity for salvation, iniquity was found in them. He got angry. He got hurt. And he got angry. And he challenged the angels, saying, is this a just God? And the angels that said no perished. They were cast out with him. And the angels that said yes were cast out with him also, because they dared stand in judgment of God. They ate at the good side of the tree, if you will, in a manner of speaking. But just like Michael, the archangel, rebuked the devil, and when he rebuked the devil, he said, the Lord rebuke you. He would not stand in judgment of a fallen angel. The angels that ate, so quote, at the good side of the tree, they should not have stood in judgment of God. They should have said, the Lord rebuke you. But the point is, what happened to Satan? How did he become Satan? He was Lucifer, the covering cherub. He was beautiful and he was perfect. And the word perfect means complete and full. He had total fullness in and of who he was. Within himself, he had complete fullness. But iniquity was found in him. Iniquity is emotional rebellion against God. And when he found from the Word of God that angels would go into hell, he did not know that he was Satan. He knew himself as Lucifer. But when he found that angels would go into hell, he got hurt. And when he got hurt, iniquity was found in him. He started to rebel. And when he started rebelling against God, he got angry. A few nights ago, in the middle of the night, God laid some thoughts on my heart. And one of the thoughts that He laid on my heart is, what exactly is anger? Because it seems to be so prevalent, even among Christians. What is anger? Well, anger is the reason why the angels fell. Not Satan, but the angels. When Satan underwent emotional rebellion against God, it culminated and manifested itself as anger against God. And in that anger, he started doing something. And when sin becomes active, it is no longer sin. And I don't mean sin becomes active as in, oh, I actively have sinned. No, that is sin. When sin becomes active in terms of infectious, when sin comes and draws others in, it is no longer sin, it is evil. The bridge between sin and iniquity, excuse me, the bridge between sin and evil for Satan was anger. Anger is the most destructive thing there is. There is nothing that is more destructive than anger. It is an active stand against God that elevates self above God and then does something about it. And it is the culmination of iniquity in the heart. It is the culmination of a rebellious heart against God because of the emotions. Satan got hurt and he rebelled in his emotions. As believers, we can get hurt very easily because we are humans. If we take a stand in that hurt, and we respond to that hurt in our emotions, and I don't mean emotions like pain and then weeping. That's not the emotion I'm talking about. I'm talking about pain, and I'm going to do something about it. Pain, and how, God, how dare you do this to me? Pain combined with pride. Resulted in iniquity. An emotional rebellion against God. And it culminated in anger. And the anger became infectious and turned into evil. And his evil, it caused one third of the angels to fall. The worst thing that can happen to a believer, I believe, is to fall into anger. Because anger is the product of rebellion against God in the heart. And the believer who is an angry believer is a believer who is in their heart rebelling against circumstances that have been brought on. Mind you, I don't say aloud, I say brought on by God to reveal the condition of the believer's heart. Now, as believers, we say that we worship God. As believers, we say that we obey and follow Him. And I certainly hope that is the case. But as believers, do we get angry? Now, there are different types of anger. There is an anger that is called anger in the Bible, like God's anger. That's not the same kind of anger. That is an indignation that comes from a love for righteousness. But that is not the anger that we are talking about. That is not a destructive anger. That is an anger that will be a motivator for winning the lost. That is an anger that will be a motivator for compassion. That is an anger that will be a motivator for purity. That is an anger that will revenge all disobedience with obedience. But that is not the anger I'm talking about. I'm talking about the other kind of anger. That is the fruit of iniquity. And when that anger is allowed out, it becomes a bridge into evil. And evil cannot be repented from because it is not a sin. Evil is a government. It is the government of Satan. There are indeed two governments in this world. One is the government of God and the other is the government of Satan. And believers can operate in either one. As believers. Now either I humble myself before God and I say, yes, God, all things are from you. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. All things are for my sake because he loves me and therefore I love him. Because in Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to them that love God. Problem is that no one can love God unless he loves them first. We love because he loved us first. So that tells me that all things are work together for good to those who are loved by God. And that would, of course, be pretty much all of us. Although I'm not sure about like a couple of you. However, if I do not humble myself before God, if I exalt myself above God, if I exalt myself above the circumstances that God puts into my life, if I kick against the pricks, the very same thing that God is sending into my life to conform me to His image, I can rebel against as a believer. And if I rebel against it as a believer, I am entering into iniquity. And when I enter into iniquity, my emotions are going to take a beating and I will enter into anger. And as I enter into anger, I bridge into evil and that evil becomes infectious. And as evil becomes infectious, then I start attacking. I will attack God. I will attack other believers. I will attack anybody who I see as being opposed to me and my almighty exalted self. And I become an enemy of the cross. And as I become an enemy of the cross, I become God's enemy, and He takes a stand as an enemy against me, the believer. And as God takes a stand against me, I have no hope. See, if I fall upon the Word, I will be broken. If the Word falls upon me, I will be crushed. Anger is dangerous. It is destructive to the believer. It is destructive to those around the believer. It is Satan's bridge to evil. Be careful for anger. Guys, most of you are young and unmarried. I would give you advice that you not marry someone who has a problem with anger. It is a destructive thing. Now, I am not saying that people cannot grow. Certainly they can grow. But let them grow first. Do not marry an immature believer. Do not even get into any kind of relationship. And quite frankly, I don't recommend a very close friendship with one. The reason being is you make yourself susceptible to attacks from the enemy. Do not be unequally yoked. That does not mean just yoked to an unbeliever. Unequal yoking can happen among Christians. A believer who is spiritual married to a believer who is carnal is an unequally yoked believer. Their life will not be fruitful. And the carnal believer will make a provision for the flesh, and as they make a provision for the flesh, they give room to the devil, and as they give room to the devil, they allow Satan's kingdom into that relationship, and God is no longer between me and thee, but the enemy is. Have fun with that one. Anger is the culmination of Satan's iniquity when it becomes active. If you enter into evil, you cannot repent from it. When you enter into evil, you have to turn back from it step by step, correcting every step that was taken into it, because it is not a sin, it's a government. And just like if you enter into a country, you may want to go away again, but you cannot because you are there. You have to turn around and step by step, just like you came in, go out. So what is the solution to anger? Humility through the cross. You see, I cannot be hurt in the wrong sense. Certainly love can be hurt. Jesus' love was hurt as he stood before Jerusalem and wept. That is not what I'm talking about. I cannot be hurt in a fleshly sense where my old sin nature is the part of me that's being hurt or wounded. Have wounded emotions develop into bitterness if I have picked up my cross. A dead man cannot be wounded. He's already dead. However, if I reckon myself dead indeed unto self and alive unto Christ, then I cannot be hurt. And the simple reason is, how can you hurt that which cannot die? What death is there in eternal life? It is not. Well, the death of the flesh being wounded in my emotions as it's producing death in my emotions cannot take place if I have eternal life residing in me. If I am living in resurrection life, the life of the cross, the life not on the cross but after the cross, then my emotions will not be wounded. And if my emotions cannot be wounded, and if I am no longer the issue, then there can be no iniquity in me because I have no foundation for emotional rebellion. Because for me to live is Christ. However, if I am on the throne, then Christ is on the cross, and after the cross, I'll be very conveniently taking him down very soon, because what do you do with a dead God but bury him? So I'll put him in the tomb and I leave him there. And when I am on the throne, then all of a sudden my flesh is in charge and my flesh can get pretty ticked off. And anger can set in. Anger is the opposite of humility and meekness through a cross. Anger takes place when the flesh is on the throne of my life through pride and through arrogance. Arrogance toward people, pride before God, flesh reigning, and I am angry. The solution to anger is the cross through humility. If I am nothing, well, what can offend nothing? I mean, if I am nothing, if I am dead, what can someone say or do that will offend me? Satan, when he was Lucifer, was offended by the fact that angels would be lower than these mere little pipsqueak men. Satan was offended. That's how he came to be. What was the result of the evil that Lucifer underwent? Well, let's take a look. He got offended, went into emotional rebellion against God, culminated in anger, bridged it to evil, and Lucifer became Satan. The believer who does not pick up his cross and lives in anger lives in his flesh and gets offended through pride and arrogance is a believer that will, one, be offended, experience emotional rebellion against God, although he may take it out on other people, but it is an emotional rebellion against God because God is the one who brought the circumstance to begin with to show the believer where he is in his heart before God. Emotional rebellion will culminate in anger. Anger will spread into evil, and he takes on Satan's ministry. And as a person, he is the human counterpart of Satan. Yet the believer who takes up his cross, lays down his life, loves the lost, loves the brethren, loves the word, becomes the human counterpart for Christ. And so we are called his body, because the life of Christ is flowing through that believer. And when the life of Christ is flowing through that believer, there is not only no anger, but there is mercy and there is love and there is grace and there is that which touches the heart to heal the wounded soul. And we become a living epistle and a Christ to a lost and dying world. When the Word of God says, I set before you life and death, therefore choose life that you may live. The fact of the matter is that everything is our choice. How I respond is a question of humility or pride. If I respond in gentleness, although I was offended or attacked or insulted, if I humble myself before God, it is through the Spirit of God and it will have the fruit of the Spirit. However, if I respond in pride, if I am arrogant toward another person, simply thinking that I am better than they are, and you know, you may not even think that this is the case, but have you said a harsh word to another person? What gave you that right? And by what authority did you say it? Was it through the power of the Spirit, or was it a satanic initiation to the flesh in which gave room to the devil through making a provision for the flesh? The harshness that was sent by the enemy to destroy that soul. That is anger. And it comes through pride. And I can blame it on the next guy all that I like, but the problem is in my own heart. The problem is never in the other person. Not once, not ever. I don't care if they shoot you, they crucified Christ. And what did he say about it? Well, when he was standing before Pilate, he said, you would have no authority over me if the Father hasn't given it to you. He said, Pilate asked him, are you a king? He said, I could call down a legion of angels. But he didn't. Instead, the innocent became guilty. There was no pride there. Oh, he knew who he was, and indeed he could call down all of heaven, but he did not. Instead, he picked up a cross, and he gave me life. When I humble myself before God, I'll pick up a cross, and it'll produce life in me, and it'll produce life in the other person. You know what the interesting thing about Christ was? He didn't experience the resurrection until after the cross. As a believer, I cannot experience the resurrection until after the cross. The resurrection life of God can only exist in me if I've picked up a cross. And if I have resurrection life, then I have God's life flowing in me. So he went to the cross It gave life to him, and it gave life to the rest of the world. Satan did not pick up a cross. Satan got wounded in his emotions. And when Satan got wounded in his emotions, it produced death in him, because the only way for me to get wounded in my emotions is through pride, where I refuse to take up my cross, where I think I am something. How dare they say that to me? It produced death in him. It produced death in a third of the angels, and it produced death in mankind. The life of God contained in the Word of God is what gave mankind his life. It's what created the universe, created structure and order. It is the source of love and of mercy and of grace. The anger of Satan became the source of all that which is separated from God. And when the separation from God took place, there was no life of God to be found. And that is why anger is so deadly and so devastatingly dangerous, because it is ultimately the removal of the love and the mercy and the grace and the life of God from the believer. Only through humility before God in a picked up cross can I escape anger. If I do not have a picked up cross, eventually I will fall into anger. And the anger will lead me into evil. And God will allow me to be tested, so that one, I can know the condition of my own heart, and two, so that he can take away from me all that that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. But when that cross is picked up, then the tomb is empty. When the cross is picked up, then the living God is on the throne of my heart. And his life is my life, and the life that I experience through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection life that produces life eternal. And if I have eternal life, then I have a life that has no beginning, and I have a life that has no end. And in eternal life, there is no death. So as a believer, I do not have the experience of death, although I don't mean just physical death, I mean those things which would impart death to my soul. I cannot experience that death if I have eternal life. They are opposite. But it only comes through a cross, in humility before God. And the foundation of the cross, that which gives me the power to pick up the cross, is receiving his word. And until I have received his word, I will have no ability in myself to pick up a cross, because it doesn't come from me. It comes from God working his cross in me through the word of God. As faith grows, so does my capacity for resurrection life. But resurrection life will not come until there has been a death. A death of my old sin nature. But the fact is that it died before eternity. I'm sorry, before time began in eternity past, when the Lamb was slain. In Revelation 13:8. And when I reckon myself as having died, then I no longer have to die. I'm dead. I simply have to believe. And when I believe, that I have died, my flesh is no longer the issue, and anger can no longer touch me. It cannot work in me, and it cannot work through me. And then I have escaped the bridge that Satan uses to bring me to evil. See, my life is found only in the cross. Unless the seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, then there's life. When I pick up my cross and follow Him, then I have entered into resurrection life, the eternal life of God, just like He did. And then there is no death that can touch the believer. Amen.